Praise God. Giving her a couple minutes there to put in the scriptures. You know, if I could really get people to understand that, just how important this is. The Bible tells us to not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. I get vacations and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. I really don't want you here if you're snotting around, okay? I'll pray for you, but if you got green stuff, you just keep yourself at home. But, you know, the devil is using anything and everything to keep people out. Oh, I got to catch my get-along. I got to catch my get-along every day I get up. And I mean, you can ask her, this is how I go till the ankles finally warm up and the knees warm up. In bed, I feel great. It's when I stand up, it's like, oh, geez. I feel like Frankenstein's monster. Everybody has an issue of why they can't do something. Do not let the devil pull you out of church. I'm just telling you. If he can do that, he will. You need to watch Wild Kingdom again. You really do. That show made an impact on me as a child. Watching a cheetah going after a gazelle. It gets the slow one, or it gets one and it singles it out. And then the rest of the herd can't help it. Or a lion on top of a buffalo, chewing on it. You ever see them think, man, they get better and they chew on their spine. These lions are... But you know what the most awesome thing is while that lion is up there chewing, it's got it all four claws sunk into it. It's got those teeth trying to break its neck. Another water buffalo will come up and hook that lion with its horns and flip a 200-pound cat in the air like it was a rag doll. And then the other one can get up. See, that's why Peter wrote, the devil roams about as a roaring lion. He's out to separate and to kill people. Please understand that. I don't tell you to come to church just because I want to see your lovely face. That's one of the reasons. And no, it's not because I want your money. I don't care about your money. If you care about it more than God does, you take your chances. I happen to know tithing works. God has honored things of people. I mean, Joshua was right. Eventually, things that I wanted, they just end up in my yard, driveway, wherever. I'm not saying I didn't have to work for them. But you have to, here we go, we're going to get in our message. You have to be responsible for your actions. So many times, we want to blame everybody else for what's going on in our lives. Oh, if my daddy was more loving, or if my mommy was more loving, or if my teachers had cared more, or if my siblings hadn't been rough on me. Okay, listen, I was the oldest. I understand the whole hierarchy of beaten down. But you know, my brother and I, we could really get going. We had chicken fights. And our goal was to kick the other person. And if your hands are behind your back, you're vulnerable. Let's just put it that way. We had one goal, put the other one on the ground. That was our fun. No wonder we both ended up in the military. But in the end, that's not why you do the things you do. You know, here's one that I just, in the wintertime, I really do sometimes just want to slap people. Why isn't the county or the state out there clearing the road right now? Don't they know what the roads are like? I have to go to the movies. Do you? Do you really? And then when you're in the ditch on your side, that the county had come out here and cleared the roads like they were supposed to. No, here's some hints. First off, slow down. It amazed me in North Carolina. First off, it snowed a couple times. They shut, quarter inch of snow. But if it rained, you weren't going to stop for the rain because we had hurricanes all the time. Every day that it rained, I knew I was going to see four accidents there and back, going to work. And it was about 18 miles to my shop. So 18 miles, I'd see at least four accidents because knuckleheads wouldn't slow down. They wouldn't try to drive better. So why don't we? Hey, slow down. You don't need to go 70 miles an hour just because the speed limit's 70. If the roads are bad, slow it down. Yeah, and stay in your lane. And if you're out on 71, that just drives me nuts, these people going down through there. Okay, yeah, we can get up to a decent speed, but then zoom, zoom, zoom. Down the road you see them zoom. If you'd have just slowed down. My one real accident in the car, because I didn't slow down. Hit black ice in a curve on County Road 22. Some of you may know, if you know the road, you know what curve I'm talking about. I thought I was Mario Andretti. I'd come through there once earlier, it was nice, but while I was gone, it had freezing rain. Didn't think nothing about it. Hit that curve, the rear end of the car went one way, I countersteered. If I'd have hit the barn, I'd have totaled my car. There was a barn right at the edge of the road. Next thing I know, I'm backwards in a ditch, tore the bumper off my car. And State Highway Patrol was so busy that day because of knuckleheads like me, they said, if it's over $400, report it. If not, don't worry about it. I was like, thank you, Jesus, I'm not getting a failure to control ticket. But I was responsible for that. It was my foot on the accelerator. Now, can I blame that on my daddy? Well, I could try. You know, he is the one who regaled me with all these stories of driving through the curves really fast and drag racing and all this other stuff and all the stupid stuff he did. They were fun stories to hear. I was just trying to live them. It wasn't my dad's fault that I wrecked my car because I was driving like an idiot in freezing rain. It was my fault. Okay, we ready to rock on these? All right. Now this, whoops, I went too far. I got a little excited, it came up. Now the sons of Noah who went out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the whole the earth was populated. From the three. Now I was doing some looking at it this morning on the map, on how my Bible's got little maps on kind of where people went. And we are all of a Caucasian descent. Most of us are from Northern Europe. And so we're probably from Japheth. That's probably where our line came through. Because the others kind of stayed south and in the Middle East. But we kind of went north. And Noah began to be a farmer. And he, now they say that it is the second oldest. So this is the oldest occupation in the world. A farmer. And he planted a vineyard. Then he drank. I only hit it once, I swear. Then he drank the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Do you know what this tells me? He got blackout, pass out, drunk. He was so drunk he fell out of his own clothes. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Now, as a little boy, there comes a certain point, my boys didn't shower with me. But when I joined the Marines, I kind of got broke out of the whole shame thing. I remember we had to change up at Lake Erie one time, and we went to the changing house, the men's side, and I changed. My boys were mortified. Listen, I had to shower with 80 guys. Psst. It ain't no big deal, is it? That is a good point. So, but here, Ham had seen his father, and he went and told his brothers. Now, there is a rumor that he did something else, that he did something. And that's based on the fact That he said, but Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backwards. So they put the blanket over top of them and backed in, and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. So Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him. He sobered up the next morning, woke up, and knew somehow that his youngest boy had done something to him. Not for sure what. I mean, other than, hey guys, look, Dad's passed out naked. Don't know if that was all. I don't know. I'm not going to dig into it. There's no point in speculating. However, he knew what he'd done, and he said to Canaan, cursed be Canaan. He cursed nearly a third of the earth's population at that time. A servant of servants shall he be to his brethren. Oop, okay, that was it. Now, I show you that. Who planted the vineyard? Noah. Who made the wine? Noah. Who drank the wine? Noah. Who passed out? Noah. Naked, we might add. And yet it's Ham's fault. He blamed the boy. Now, disrespect and all that. You know what? There's a lot of traditions I'm not in for in the Bible. There just really are. I take responsibility for my actions. I don't blame my sons. Well, if you hadn't made me so mad. I know a few of you probably heard that. Well, maybe, here's the smart alecky side of you. Well, maybe if you just go take a chill pill. So I can tell you that from this side now. Maybe if you just took a chill pill and relaxed a little bit, you wouldn't devastate your heritage. Those are your grandchildren you're cursing. I want nothing but blessing in life for my grandchildren. I don't want them to be cursed. They don't need to be cursed. They got a hard enough fight as it is in this world. A world that would rather see babies dead. So, he blamed other people. He didn't take responsibility, in my opinion. And if you actually look at it, you will see he did not take responsibility. He passed a curse on. Now, so we go over here to Genesis 19:30. It said, then Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar. And he and his two daughters dwelt in a cave. Remember, his wife turned into a pillar of salt. Sodom and Gomorrah went boom. And everything is devastated. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there is no man on the earth to come into us, as is the custom of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Yes, we're talking incest. Thus both the daughters of the Lot were with child by their father. Now, how do you make, I mean, I get it if you drink a little bit. I mean, I've been drunk before. You drink a little bit, you don't realize how drunk you are. So you drink a little bit more, and then, well, why not? I'm having a good time, I'm feeling good. Except the delayed reaction of the alcohol, eventually you're going to pass out. And this is what happened with Lot. He didn't know they even came in, and he didn't know they left. He got blackout drunk. Let me tell you, I never got that blackout drunk. I've known people who've done it, but I never got to that point, and I drank a lot. He drank so much he didn't know he just had sex with his daughters and impregnated them both. Now, the thing of it is, one became the father of the Moabites, and the other one became the father of the Ammonites. Of our father and of our kin is what their names meant. They were inbred, they were incestual, and they would be forever the enemies of the descendants of Abraham. The Moabites would be the ones that would lead Israel into its greatest seduction. And so we've had a lot of they have a lot of problems because of this. Now, I blame Lot. I put that squarely on the shoulders of Lot. Now, here's the thing of it is, but Lot loved where he was at. You need to understand, Sodom and Gomorrah were like New York City. They were hustling, they were bustling, things were happening. They had some serious charges against him before God. And he was coming down to find out. And he saw that it was true. He knew it was true. But for Abraham's sake alone did he do this. It wasn't for Lot's sake. It was for Abraham's sake. They all left. They ended up with nothing. The girls are sitting there dwelling in a cave. And all they look out from the cave is burned. For as far as they can see, it's devastated. And what do they say? There are no men on the earth. There's not another man around except him. And we need to keep our father's lineage going. If they had just stepped out of the cave, maybe gone in the other direction, looked in the other direction and saw, wait a minute, there's green over there. There's life over there. Wait a minute, isn't that a camel in a caravan? We're not the only ones. So they're to blame. They didn't do their homework. They sat back and just believed what they saw instead of... And listen, when I tell you things, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to try God. I don't tell you to tithe because I want your money. I tell you to tithe because God said, try me in this and see if what I will do for you. And I'm telling you because I've done it for 31 years. Well, you're not rolling into millions. If I was rolling into millions, I wouldn't need to trust God anymore. Would I? Well, God would take you and you'd lead, you know, bigger ministries and people would look up to you. I don't want anybody to look up to me. Really? Don't put me on that pedestal. I mean, there is respect. I get that. But understand this. When I smash my thumb, I'm not out there, oh, bless you, Jesus, hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Why did I do that stupid thing? Or when I shoot my thumb with a nail gun, them little pin nails hurt. That's going to leave a mark. I do pray over it afterwards, okay? But I know people that do that, and then they get all good and religious, and the problem is they look down on people. Because they look up to nobody. There's nobody that they honor. And I've heard that from their mouth. So we now see that the daughters were just as much to blame for this. But if the man, Lot, their father, had been a little more disciplined, you know what, girls? That one jug of wine is plenty. I don't need to drink three jugs tonight again. Or I don't need to drink three jugs, period. There is no fun in being passed out drunk. All the times I remember blowing my cookies wasn't all that fun. So we got that, but Lot's in this situation because somebody else disobeyed God. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Didn't God say to get away from your family? Then why did he let Lot go with him? Lot wasn't a little boy. He was a grown man. possibly 40s or 50s. Abraham disobeyed God, putting Lot in this situation because he let him go with him instead of saying, Lot. Oh, and he gave Lot the opportunity to choose the land that God had given him. Now, it sounds like you're just being mean to all these patriarchs of our faith. No, I'm showing you how, even as the patriarchs of our faith, they made dumb decisions. And sometimes did not own up to them. Noah never took responsibility for being drunk, blackout drunk. He cursed his son. Don't see anything else about how he dealt with what he did. In my opinion, if you're that drunk, you need some help. You need some serious help. That's the way my grandfather was. And that's what killed him. I mean, he would drink Aqua Velva. If he couldn't get alcohol, he would drink Aqua Velva. I've used Aqua Velva. There ain't nothing about it makes me want to drink it. I even saw our drill instructor squirt it in the mouth of our guide because he opened his mouth. I thought it was funny. But he was sick the rest of the day. My grandfather didn't. Abraham was 75 at this point. This is when God said, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to bring a descendant out of your loin. But, remember what happened to Abraham right around this time? He got a little tired of waiting on God and took Hagar, created a whole nother line, created a whole nother problem for Israel. He created Ishmael. But then continued to blame God because he didn't have a lineage. It's called patience. That's why these things are recorded for us. We all try to walk around, we listen to people trying, you need to be perfect. You know, you just need to be perfect. You're never going to be perfect, dear. I love you. I love you. And when I tell you to wait, you just wait.
Yeah.
You want what God's got for you, not the alternative. The alternative ended up has been fighting Israel ever since. Ever since Isaac was a little boy, Ishmael and Isaac have fought, and they are fighting today. We have to take responsibility for us. Well, you know, brother, I see where God did this, and you know, Canaan was cursed. Well, yes, he was. A curse was pronounced upon him. Let me show you a little something. Ezekiel 18:1, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? So if my dad ate sour grapes, I'm the one that's ever going, oh. And if you've never eaten sour grapes, that's exactly what you do. As I live, says the Lord God, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. It was something they lived by. If I did something, I'm not paying for it. My boys are. Now, in 18:13, he says, if he has exacted usury or taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. If he has done any of these abominations, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Whatever my sons do, it's on them, not on me. Now, on the other side, who has withdrawn his hand from the poor? It means not taking from them, okay? Taking his hand from the poor and not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments and walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. So whatever my sons do and they do good, it's on them. They will live. They will be happy. They will be prosperous. The soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. I'm not responsible for their blunders, and they're not responsible for my blunders. Although we do that, don't we? You find out somebody came from a certain family, you know, I mean, they got a really bad name, and everybody's family at some point has a bad name. I really don't care who you are. Well, our family has been wealthy, and you might have a worse name than anybody. I'm not trying to be mean, but people that have been poor and don't understand how to make money, they always blame the rich because of why they're poor. Never mind the fact that they can't live within their means, and they won't save anything. So just because my grandfather was poor does not mean I have to be poor. My great-grandfather, the stories that I've heard, was a successful man. He knew how to do business. He may not have been the greatest father. We look back in our family lineage and it's starting to, right there is where we start seeing greed and all kinds of stuff coming up. But it's within his boys and their boys. That's where it all started. But the story that we've gotten is during the Depression, my grandfather was a good enough farmer, he kept the county fed. Just a poor old county in West Virginia. But he was also a train engineer. He worked for B&O, so he had a good job. But his farm made money. And in turn, he remembered people who couldn't. And he took care of them. And even when my grandfather lost his legs, he let him live on 300 acres. Now, this is the Beverly Hillbillies shack. I've got pictures of this thing. Dad said they had goats, and it was built backed up into the hill. The back wall was the mountain, and the goats would just walk out on top of the roof. And it had a dirt floor, and supposedly I have the stove that my grandmother cooked on, and it's about that tall and about that wide. And it was actually the stove off of a caboose. They called them laundry stoves too, but they came off of the cabooses. But here's how my great-grandfather took care of him. They had all the food they wanted. They could hunt. They needed coal to heat. The land was so rich with coal, all they had to do was walk over and uncover some leaves and dig the coal out by hand on top of the ground. They didn't have to mine. My dad said, oh yeah, we just go over there and take a hammer and bust them up and take it back to the house. And I've seen some of these areas where people have done that in West Virginia. But that land, because of that coal and because of the timber on it, eventually became a problem with a greedy family member. Great-grandfather was dead. But my grandfather didn't use his head the whole way. And he agreed to a $500 payout off of millions. Just because my grandfather made those kind of mistakes doesn't mean I have to keep perpetuating it. Do you know what? It's not wrong to have money. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, I've been poor and I've been rich. And I found it's better to be rich. Because you can always help somebody too. I mean, you can really help them. Yeah, the poor and the poor help, then they just divide their assets. But if the rich help the poor as well, God will bless the rich. Because God says, when you help the poor, you loan to me. So, but my grandfather on the other side, well, he was a pipe fitter for Union Carbide. Had a good job, built a new house, had a new truck. He was just an alcoholic. I have no idea what happened in his past. But my mom didn't grow up poor. My mom grew up wearing nice clothes. She was the one that would get the pictures, and you know, she always had the pretty little dress. She was the one that stood out. She's kind of like the Dolly Parton. You know, if you've ever seen the movies, the girl that played, she always kind of tried to stick out. Well, that was my mom. in her class, because we've seen a picture. It's like, yeah, there's no doubt who you are. You're my mom, because everybody else is wearing this, and here's mom wearing this. Back in the day, I mean, it was a short little skirt, but she was only like 9. It's like, yep, that's my mom. But she never grew up like that. She always had what they needed. Dad, you know, we find pictures, and he'd be mortified. But he's wearing somebody else's underwear. He's 3. And he's wearing a 12-year-old's underwear. Or he might be wearing a pair of bibs. That's my favorite picture. Brand new pair of bibs on Easter. They're on the side of the mountain. And somebody got the bright idea back then to cut the picture into pieces and give the piece to the family member instead of copying the picture. So my grandmother is cut up somewhere. My grandmother would have been in her 30s. She wasn't that old. Very few pictures of her exist. But I don't have to live according to what somebody else thinks about me. I go to West Virginia, my name doesn't matter. I'm who I am. I don't have to live by what my other grandfather did. I don't carry his name for starters, and I don't know anybody in that area anymore. But you don't have to either. Just because your family may have been successful does not guarantee you're going to be successful if you don't let go of the crap that happened, accept responsibility for your stupid mistakes. Hey, I did that. That's all on me. And move on. Learn from your mistakes. I learned a lot wrecking that car. That was our very first newer vehicle. It was a 91, and I bought it in 93. It was 2 years old. Man, I was so thrilled because we had this Chrysler New Yorker. Kind of looked like a pretty cool car. It was pretty comfortable. Had a Mitsubishi engine. First time I drove it, never had nothing but problems. Starter went out, had a flat tire, couldn't get the lock off. I'm getting married. And I'm having to deal with this stuff. And I hated that car. She loved it, never had any problems with it. I come along, problems. It even talked to you. It was one of those. A door is ajar. I said, no, a door is a door. But I was so tickled to have that car, and I remember the day I wrecked it. I mean, it was a Southern car, clean. Just wasn't using my head. But I didn't blame my dad. I did it. Because here's what my dad told me. You know, he said years ago, he said, you know, I always saw those, you know, those curve signs. He said, as a young man, he said, I used to like to see if I could double the speed limit that they were recommending. So if it was 45, he wanted to do 90. And I'm here to tell you, you can't actually do that on some of them with the right vehicle. Because I've done it. I ain't lying. I was praying to Jesus, don't let me die. Don't let me die for my stupidity here. But my dad made sure he did tell me one thing. And he took me on the curve. He was showing us where he finished up growing up. And we were on this curve. He says, yeah, he said, I came around this curve. You know, he said, said 25 back here. Mind you, I'm in West Virginia. Guardrails are an option. Okay. 77 might have guardrails. Back roads, the trees are your guardrails. And Dad was driving his brother's new Corvair. Brand new Corvair. And if you've known anything about Corvairs, they had a few issues. And one of them was the rims folding. And he took that curve at about 60, rated for 25. The rear rims folded in, and 300 yards of cable to get the car out. How he's alive is beyond me, because he said the top was even with the top of the doors when it came to rest. So my dad has had the hand of God on him since day one. He told me he wrecked the car. So I always told him, boys, I said, y'all use your heads. It's not worth tearing up your car. You're the one who has to pay for it. Because see, I'm the one who had to pay for the damage. The deductible was going to be more than what I could buy the parts for, and I was laid off so I could fix it. But we can't keep blaming somebody else. It's you. You got to accept responsibility. I always tell my boys, I said, I wasn't perfect as your father. I said, my father wasn't perfect with me. But I said, your job is to be better. And women, it's the same difference. Your mother's not perfect, but your job is to be a better mother. And that's how we move on. That's how the world actually will get along, is if we all try to be better people towards each other. Because actually, if you're reading, I encourage you to go back and read Ezekiel, is it 18? Go back there and read that. Because what God was speaking through the prophet was how they were treating other people. That was one of the charges against Sodom and Gomorrah and the five villages. See, it wasn't just the two little towns that blew up. There were five satellite villages around. It was kind of like Westerville, Dublin, Hilliard, and all that around Columbus. So you imagine that. That's what they had. And but how they were treating each other, how they were treating other people. And again, we read the parable of the sheep and the goats. Oh, well, Sherry, bless God, you went out and I saw you raising money for the jet that I told you to get. And yes, I'm going to hit that one. I saw you raise it. Hallelujah, come on in. No. Sherry, I saw how you gave. I saw how you gave the food to the people who didn't have it. I saw how you loved people who didn't deserve it. That is how God is going to judge us. Because he turned around and he said to those that said, but Lord, oh, didn't we hold worldwide revivals, crusades? I'm not saying all these people are bad. There's charlatans in every group. But what I'm saying, he said, depart from me, you never knew me. Yeah, you preached the gospel, you cast out demons, you healed the sick. But how you treated people was appalling. You forgot to be humble and kind. Whether you like Tim McGraw or not, that is an awesome song. But understand that. That's how God is going to judge us. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, your church could be bigger. You could have, you know, 1,000 people. I don't want 1,000 people. I used to think maybe I'd be cool. No. No, 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 no. I want more people. Always. Because I want more people being touched by the gospel. I want more people to help y'all in everything that you do as well. But I don't want more people so that I can look prosperous. I had a guy the other day, hadn't seen him for a while. And it was raining to him at an auction. And he said, oh, he says, your parking lot's getting kind of full. Church must be going good. I said, yeah. Till vacation season hits. I said, yeah, it is. I said, we're going to actually work on getting some more parking. We've narrowed our number of vehicles coming here down, and otherwise I'm parking out back. And, it's like, well, we got everybody here. We're looking for parking spots. which is a good thing. Don't ever let that stop you. Double park. I don't care. You're not getting a ticket. And, but I thought, yeah, God is. God is blessing this body because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. God didn't call me to start World Harvest. That's Rod Parsley. Everything that happens there is on him, good and bad. Everything that happens here is on me. But I want to be known for having done what I was supposed to be doing, not what somebody else was supposed to be doing. Kind of, I'm going to use another football analogy. I'm trying to get your running back to run a certain route, but he wants to run with the wide receiver. Joe just kind of rolled his eyes. No, son, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. There's a reason I want you doing this. But no, I want to run with him. See, running backs and wide receivers usually get a lot of the glory. And they kind of start fighting. Hey, no, no, no. He's not scoring a touchdown. I'm scoring a touchdown. You know what? It's whether the team wins, right? And that's what this thing is about. I bless my brothers and sisters in other churches. It's not about what we're accomplishing. It's about what the whole body is accomplishing. We're just a piece of it. You know, if we're a football team, I don't know if we're a cornerback or what. All I know is we got our job to do, and we do it. And God moves on us to do something, we move. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been blessed to see how this body comes together when there's a need and it's met. I mean, you just floored me. I'm going to tell you, floored me with the van. I think you floored Pastor Bob because he knows about the size of our church. I think you floored him. He was amazed as well. So understand this. We're here to do our part. The Church of Christ over there, they got their part. The Baptist Church up here, they got their part. I don't care if we all don't sit underneath the same roof. Jesus said, if they're not against you, they are for you. And the quicker the body of Christ realizes that, the better. Amen. All right, let's stand. Yeah, everybody stretch. By the way, it's just now noon. You be who God called you to be, not anybody else. You're not called to be me. You're called to be Tim. Oh, but I wish I could do what you do. Well, there's days I wish I could do what I do. But it's not under my power. Because trust me, there's days I wake up, I'm like, when's the next flight to Alaska? Well, I thought you got that under control. I do, but I have to cast it down every day. See, everybody thinks, well, I thought you broke those generational curses. I do every day that I say no. I'm putting my foot down. I'm not running. I'm tired of running. Just because you want to doesn't mean that you're a sinner. If you're trying to break cigarettes, and just because your body's screaming for it, doesn't make you a sinner. Or alcohol, or drugs, or anything else. Your body's going to crave it. Our bodies are like, it's no different than sugar. Our bodies, I mean, there's days I'm like, ooh, I really hit the sugar today. It's bad. No wonder I'm shaking. doesn't make you a bad person. Keeping in mind, your Savior was tempted the exact same way. But he said no. He said, no, I won't do it. I'm not going to bow. You remember that. Nobody has a right to bring whatever your daddy, your brothers, your cousins, whoever your family is, bring their sins onto you. You're not that person. I had somebody that passed me over for being an elder one time because of my father. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You of all people should know we're not the same person. And there's a huge difference. I learned to respect authority whether I liked it and agreed with it or not. I didn't always like my platoon sergeant. My first one ripped a handful of chest hair out. Took 6 months to grow back. And it hurt. But another one I had, he was awesome. I mean, I don't think I could have done any wrong. His last name was Morrison. He found out I was dating a Morrison. I was going to marry a Morrison. And by the way, he was from Newark. But the second to last one, I despised him. I had no respect for him, except for what I had to give him to his rank. Because he was a despicable human being. Had officers I'd follow into battle, others I thought, you need to fall in battle. Because you're all about you. Let's remember, nobody's got a right to hold you down. Take responsibility for what you do, what you did. If you don't take responsibility, just keep passing it on. All you did was what Noah did. I planted a garden. I planted a vineyard. I made the wine. I got drunk. I'm the one that got out of my clothes. And whatever Ham, however you want to say it, whatever he did, we don't really know. Maybe he should have just shut his mouth and said, hey, guys, I went in to check on Dad. And for all I know, that may be all he really did. We don't know. You tell me that you can read the true narrative of what's read there. He went and told his brothers. Maybe he was laughing, I don't know. But maybe he was trying to be serious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask, Lord, right now that you help us all to accept the things that we've done, and knowing that the stupid things we've done, we're forgiven if we have laid it before you. Father, but the things we keep perpetuating and we keep blaming others, when the truth of the matter is, it's us. We're the ones who aren't content. We're the ones who has the problem. No matter what happened to us from our parents, our grandparents, our cousins, our brothers, our sisters, it's still my decision on how I act. So Father, right now I pray that you help us all to come to terms with those, to forgive the hurts, to move on, and to become more like you. I pray now, Father, that you minister your love to each and every person today. Father, every person that has a part of this body, whether they're here or not, Lord, minister your love to them. Wrap them in your arms of compassion. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your people. Lord God, I know many of them are facing new situations. Some of them are facing trials. Lord, I pray right now that you help them all. Help them all to remember that they have you to hold on to wrap your arms, and for them to wrap their arms around you. Lord, I bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.